All right, Genesis chapter number 1, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to continue this thing that we started on this morning. Now, for those of you that weren't here this morning, Brother Larry, I'd like for you to just turn to Philippians, if you would, please. And where we started this morning in Sunday school, because it is a key component in the Bible. That key component has to do with something that none of us like to do, and it's called submission. Most everybody breaks out into a sweat when they hear anything that starts with the word sub. Anything that puts us under, we don't tend to like. We don't mind being over, but we can't stand being under. Now, there's a principle that is taught that I'm going to show you this, so it's not intended to just be at the women, but we happen to be on that part. We already talked about ordained authority as far as government's concerned. But you have to remember that when Jesus Christ came down here, the Bible said He learned obedience by the things that He suffered, that when He came down here, that He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself lower than the angels. So you have to realize that even God Himself coming down, dwelling in the body of a human flesh, that when He came down here, He gets down on His hands and knees in front of His creation that He created and washed their feet. He took the position of a servant. He didn't just tell the guys that He was ministering to, if you want to be the greatest, you got to be the least. If you want to be on top, you got to be on the bottom. If you want to be the master, you got to be the servant. He practiced what He preached. And that's the most difficult thing to do is, and what these guys are going to be preaching during the Jubilee is not just you should be one, but how to be one. And the first part of that is learning to realize or understand it is not a natural thing. You have to be willing to walk in the Spirit in order to have the ability to do what God would require you to do or to set the example. It is not natural for you by nature to submit to people you don't like. So God has certain people do certain things, and then what it shows about yourself is I'm not going to do that because I don't like her. I'm not going to do that because I don't like him. And the Lord's like, well, do you love me? Okay, well, is it right? What you're saying is that I'll submit to who I want to submit to. See how it gets hard? Now, let me help you. John chapter 13, not turn there, but John chapter 13, there's Judas Iscariot, who the Lord knew from the beginning is a devil. He's washing his feet. There's Peter, who he knew was going to deny him before the night's over. He's washing his feet. The rest of the apostles, they know, are going to take off and leave, and they're going to desert him, and there he is, washing their feet. He's watching them argue about who's going to be the greatest and all that stuff while he's washing their feet. See, it has nothing to do with your opinion when it comes to these matters. But you're going to submit to somebody. And your unwillingness to submit conjures up other spirits and other things. And some of you are more familiar with those things than others. And those things are very real things. When you refuse to submit, as I showed you this morning, to do what God would have you to do, it's not that you're just, okay, I'm out of the realm now, I don't have to worry about it. Oh, no. When you refuse what God says, that gives opportunity for the devil, 1 Timothy chapter 2, to step in and say, okay, you don't do what he said, so you're going to do what I say. But it's no fence riding. You don't get to say, well, I'm not going to do what you say, and I'm not going to do what he says. No, you're going to do what somebody says. All right, now this thing is in Genesis chapter number 1, and I got to just sort of set the tone again for where we were this morning. This has to do with the creation, and let me say this about that. This creation was in 6 days, 24-hour days. There's no marrying together or trying to bring together the idea or the thought that millions or thousands of years have taken place to try to marry science and the Bible. I don't believe that. I believe God spoke the worlds into existence, and I believe He used these things in a 24-hour, 7-day, 6-day time period. On the 7th day, He rested. That means He kicked it out of gear. Now, notice what He says in verse number 28. And God blessed them. Who's the them? That's Adam and Eve. He created man in His own image there in verse number 27. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So it looks like it had been plentiful before, and He tells them to replenish it. You have to change that word in order to fit your theology. If He meant replenish, you say, well, what does He mean? He means replenish. You say, why? In the same place He uses replenish, He also uses fill. So if He wanted to use fill, He could have. So we don't need you to change that into what makes you comfortable. You have to admit somebody wrote the Bible that knows more than you know. But let me just give you a word of caution. Whenever you start the Bible with human being as man being the center of it and not God being the center of it, you are headed for a downward spiral. You are circling the drain. The Bible was not written to exalt man. The Bible was written to exalt Jesus Christ, and it's to give you an opportunity to get on some kind of a plane where you can understand that a God would love you enough to die for you even though you're a rebellious, snot little brat. Amen. That goes for all of us. Now notice what he says. He says, and replenish the earth, and notice, subdue it. Bring it under control. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Brother Holland, you pray and ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Amen. All right, have a seat if you would, please, and come to Genesis chapter number 3. Now, would you agree with me that when the Lord created Adam, that He created him and He created Eve, a helpmeet to Adam, not a helpmate, a helpmeet. Means that God's original intention for creating the woman named Eve was not for her and him to be co-rulers. He created Eve for the purpose of being a helpmeet to Adam. In other words, to be an individual that helped Adam to do that which God had already called him to do. He didn't say, now that Adam I've given you, now your responsibility is going to be to take care of here. No, Adam, your responsibility is you take care of what I told you to, have dominion and subdue it, do the things I told you to do, and I'm going to bring somebody to be a help, an assistant to you, to help you along the way. When it's likened unto this, in the sense of the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ doesn't change his attention and make it toward, well, I got to make it all about the bride. That's the mistake today. Laodicea thinks it's all about the bride. No, it's not about the bride. It's about God's original mission is, I have something to do for Jesus Christ to do. He came into the world to seek and to save sinners. And so what does he do? When you get into the bride of Christ, you get into the body of Christ, salvation by grace through faith alone, and you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he accompanies you and says, now you've become a helpmeet for me to do what I set out to do. But the world today, the church today has said, okay, so now what are you going to do for me? I just saved you. Get in the traces and let's get busy. Oh, well, the way I see it is I want to be healthy and I want to be wealthy and I want to be wise and I want to have this. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. You're supposed to be a helpmate. You're supposed to support. You're supposed to help me do what it is. The mistake we've made today is we've tried to turn it into a thing where it's about us. What's God given us? That comes later. Look in Genesis chapter number 3, you know what happens. The Bible said, the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field, the Lord God made, and he said unto the woman, yea, if God said. And so Eve is already questioning God because she wouldn't have fallen for that question. And then he says a little bit further on down there, he says, you shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. Why do you bring this up? Because it goes to show you the law of first mention that a woman has a tendency to want to be recognized, appreciated, and worshipped over what God intended for her to be. That's what Satan appealed to. Ye shall be as gods. Oh, I'll finally be venerated. I'll finally be appreciated. I'll finally be recognized. I'll finally have everything that my mom and dad or my grandfather or the world doesn't recognize. Now, I know what I'm talking about, and I know it sounds odd, and I can tell by the shock on your face, you can't imagine this. But that's why they would rather you worship a woman than to worship Jesus Christ. Why? Because it worked for the devil to overthrow the entire human race. He was given the ability, was given the ability to both subdue and have dominion over what was there. The reason that the devil and the fallen angels did not take over by force was because Adam was given control over them and given dominion over them, and he would have been given the power to remove them. They didn't even make an attempt to try to take over by violence. You can't miss that. If he's the devil, he's got to be some kind of powerful. Is that not true? Why didn't he just come at Adam and go, I'll knock you slap silly? He didn't have that power. That's why, what did he do? He didn't come at Adam. He came at Adam through Eve, the weaker vessel.
Why? Because she was deceived, according to what we read this morning in 1 Corinthians 11. And what he did was, is he managed to get her to yield to him, and thereby was able to get Adam to yield to him. And that's what gave him now the power to be able to subvert what God intended. And that was, Adam is on top, Adam is the king, and Adam is in control, and Adam is ruling, and he used the woman to flip the thing around. That makes all women bad. No, it doesn't. But it is a fact. And a woman will desire to be on top, to subvert what God says, because she's an emotional creature. Look, if you will, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I hope you're not already ready to throw up. I promise I want to help you, but you have to be aware of these things. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And Paul says, it followers of me, and then he says, keep the ordinances, and then he says in verse number 3, do you realize that you can maintain or you can get dominion in your household by just having a snotty attitude? Sure you can. You can make it all about you. Your husband says or does something you don't like, and so you pitch a fit and act like a snot, and the next thing you know, you've subverted what God intended for you to do. Ma'am, I mean no offense by this at all, but a number of the places that you're going to see tonight, Lord willing, is he is constantly warning you about a meek and a quiet spirit. He's constantly warning you about talking too much. He's constantly warning about what? What is that talking? Recognize me. Recognize me. I know as much as he does. I know more than he does. I'm the one that takes care of everything. I know the answers to everything. I'm the one that should be this. I'm the one that should be that. That's your natural tendency. You say, well, all women are that way. Don't make it right. Social media goes around what? Women. Why? They want to talk it to death. Well, I can't still get for the life of me why men are on social media. Until you understand the demonic undermining of the God-ordained authority. The God-ordained authority is God, Jesus Christ, the man, not the man in the sense of a plurality of forms. Well, that means both man and woman. No, 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 no. In the passage I'm going to show you, the man and then the woman. So it's not a general pronoun that is used to mean whatever gender you want it to mean. No, you got to be a Bible perverter to get that. Now notice what the Bible says. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Nobody would disagree with that. Amen. But he doesn't say the head of every woman. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman... Now you know why they want to have a non-gender specific Bible? Because they don't like what God said. You got to be kidding me. I'm in 1 Corinthians 11. You mean I'm over in Genesis chapter 3? I'm telling you that's exactly where you are. I'm telling you in Genesis 3, the devil said, yea, if God said, he didn't really mean that. Don't you know, ma'am, you shall be as gods? And the truth of the matter is, he's trying to put you down by putting you under that guy over there. I know you came out of his rib, and he's supposed to be there to protect you and watch over you and all that other kind of stuff. You know what? That woman wouldn't have been looking at that tree if she didn't despise what God said already and she didn't appreciate the man God put over her. Instead of her being happy, being what God wanted her to be, you know what it says? That kind of appeals to me. I shall be as God. It's about time I get venerated, lifted up, and taken and appreciated for who I am, what I do. After all, I do everything around here. He don't do nothing. Boy, you sure felt different about him before you married him. You couldn't wait to marry him, walk down the aisle. Now you're married to him, and now you can't fix him. So you're thinking, can I trade him in? Nope. Nope. But part of the problem in relationships today is the absence of the father. But part of the reasons the father's absence is because the woman is trying to take control of the household. Amen. I can't preach it anyway, but serious. Because it's where it started in Genesis chapter 3. God didn't set it up that way. But the devil doesn't have as many battle plans as you think. You say, why? Because the ones he has have always worked. Why would he change it if it's already working? The world is now designed in such a fashion to so venerate women that they go contrary to the Bible, not their husbands. They know more than the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 3 all over again. Hey, ma'am. You deserve equal rights. ERA. Well, that's an equal rights amendment. Or Eve ruined Adam. Eve partook of the fruit, right? She knew immediately she did something wrong. She had her eyes open. She understood some things she shouldn't. Adam showed up. Now, if Eve really loved Adam, what should she have done? Baby, I messed up, and I don't want you messing up with me. Don't even come in here. Don't even come around here. I've messed up. I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Pray for me. But instead, you know what she says? You love me, don't you? You know what Adam said? You know what Eve's trying to get Adam to say? You love me more than you love God, don't you? You know how many times I've seen men get called to the ministry, or men get called to Bible school, or men get called to preach, or men get called to pastor, or men get called to the mission field, and that woman say, well, it's either me or him.
Amen.
That's Genesis 3. You know what the world says? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Because you're supposed to die for her. That makes a great Harlequin romance. It makes a great thing where you watch on the, whatever that dumb, you know, hi, John. Hi, Jill. How are you, John? I'm fine, Jill. John, would you like hot chocolate? Yes, Jill. That would be wonderful. That channel. Yeah, you said it. What's that? Hallmark. I'm going to say that's what you said. I'm not sure, but I think that's what you said. Anyway. No. Here's the biblical way. Honey, I love you, but you messed up. And I love you to a fault, but I don't love you more than God.
Amen.
And I'm going to do what God told me to do, and I'm sorry. And I don't care if it hair-lips the devil. I am not giving up dominion and subduing what God told me to do for you, because He's more important to me than you are. And you see how that flies in the face of reason? Oh, now, wait a minute. What do you think would have happened? Well, maybe he would have given Eve a sacrifice, or maybe he would have given her a way out. I don't know, but I bet you this. I bet you he would have found somebody for Adam that would have been better helpmeet to him than Eve. But that ain't how the story went. You know how the story went? That man, the Bible says, I'll show you in a minute, that Eve was deceived, but Adam was in the transgression. You say, why? Because he knew what he was doing when he did it. And ma'am, you need to understand the power that you can have and you can exercise over a man. And if you get so selfish and you make it all about you, you can wreck and ruin what God intends for somebody like Adam to be able to do. But he changed the course of history right there for the next 6,000 years. Say, well, it's Adam's choice. Yeah, but that woman sure had a lot of influence. And you have the ability to influence. I've seen a woman get so mad at her husband and get so upset with her husband, he gets all in a twist and gets all tangled up and can't even keep his mind on what it is God's called him to do because he's so worried about her being mad or her being upset. I've watched them walk out of church services. I've watched them pack up and pack their stuff. I've even heard of stories where they're mailing rings back. Well, if you're going to serve him, then you can't serve him because I'll divorce you. And then nobody's going to listen to you. Well, baby, I love you, but I don't love you more than I love him. So go ahead and send my ring back, and I'll have to accept the fact that if you do that, then I'll have to trust that some people won't trust me or won't like me or don't want me to be in the ministry anymore. But I'll be jumped if I'm giving it up for you. Fine, it's either me or God. That's what you're saying, ma'am. You say, what? That's your desire that's in you to be venerated, to be lifted up. It's your desire to be in disobedience to God. Some of you are bitter at God because God made you a woman. And I don't mean you're trying to turn into a lesbian. I'm simply saying to you that you just don't believe that God's way is the right way. Because you've been raised by modern media and modern preachers that have taught you something contrary to the Bible. You are not supposed to be over your husband. And you are not supposed to be the neck that turns the head. Well, my husband, one lady said, he is the head of the household. But I am the neck that turns the head. So who's the head? Any of you ever ride a horse before? You know what you do? You put a bit and a bridle in there. Who's controlling the horse? The one riding the horse. Well, he's the head, isn't he?
He outweighs you by 1,000 pounds, don't he? And you're controlling that thing with a bit and a bridle? You're controlling the horse. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter number, the head of man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God, but every man praying, prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Meaning, what is his head? Doesn't dishonor his noggin. He dishonors the Lord. What? You're showing that you're not in submission to Him. That whole chapter has to do with a woman and the covering given to her. Why? That she has to do with showing submission to the man. It's an order of things. But we're completely out. If any pastor dares to have the courage, come to Ephesians chapter number 5, has the courage to stand up and preach the Bible, it's generally speaking the women that get upset, and then the women get the men upset. And then the men are going to come say something to the preacher. We're going to fix you. Why don't you just go ahead and send your boss in here instead of you coming? Because you're here because your wife's mad. You know, you're laughing, but you know I'm telling the truth. Every church split I have ever seen take place behind that thing is a woman telling the man, I don't like that, and I can't believe he said that, and that's just a little crude, and that's a little bit rough, and I just don't like the way it is. And so the man wants peace at home. Sure you do. You want peace at home, so you know what you do? Well, baby, I'll go straighten him out. So you come in there, it's a win-win for you. I went and told him, I don't know that he's going to listen, but I told him, okay, baby, well, we're good in the household. All he's trying to do, ma'am, is shut you up. You have to understand. He wants you to be quiet. You just want to talk. He wants you to hush. Okay, the problem's a preacher. Yeah, okay, I'll take care of it. Can we go to another subject now? Now, you hear? Are you listening to the amens right now? The silence is the amen. That's a man going... I'm not fool enough to say amen because I'm not sleeping on the couch tonight. Which, by the way, I make that as a joke, but I've never slept on the couch. We never have an argument so bad that I go sleep on the couch. There might be a pillow between us, but I don't sleep on the couch. Not that either. But we're not perfect. We've had a few knockdown and drag outs. You say, why? Part of being married. Part of growing through life. Part of stress and trouble and problems and things coming on, and you kind of blast off every now and then. Okay, and then what do? Well, you kiss and make up and eat a banana sandwich and everything's all right. Sure, man. No, you're not fooling me. Look, man, I've been doing that 39 years now. I know what I'm talking about. You're not ever going to have a marriage where you don't have a disagreement in the household. But generally speaking, in most cases, ma'am, it will be because there is some bug in your bonnet about something you think is important and he's not giving you the attention you want. And you're going to tear up the household until he gives you what you want. You'll tear up a church house too. Yeah, you sure will. Submitting yourselves, there it is again, verse number 21, unto one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Just a quick little word of advice there. You do what your husband tells you to do. You don't do what the preacher says to do. If it's contrary to what your husband says to do, you need to work that thing out because your husband's your husband, not your preacher. I'm not interested in turning you ladies against your husband, and you're not going to use me or my authority here in this church to say, well, the preacher said... I'll talk to the two of you together, but I'm not going to talk to you separate and then have you take your interpretation of it and then try to turn your husband against me because I'm telling him what you wanted to hear instead of what God said. Right. You say, why? I know how you'll twist things, Genesis chapter 3. I'm firm on that. I know that. You say, why? Because it's not my place to tell you what to do in your household. Amen, that's your husband. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Everybody else kind of get lockjaw there. I got no business telling him how to run his household. So, well, he's the associate. Oh, it has to do with stuff around here. I tell him what to do, raising his kids. If he don't ask me, I'm not answering. You say, why? It's not my business.
You understand? You see where you get the cross with authority? Because, ma'am, if you can't have authority, you will hook up another male to try to use that authority over the authority that God gave you. You will look to undermine the authority that God gave. God said, hey, this is your boss right here. Well, I'm going to so-and-so and I'm going to tell him, and then what I'm going to do is I'll use his authority to get his authority to put him under my authority. Because, you know, the preacher agrees with me. You just made a huge mess, ma'am. Because now what happens is your husband, if he does come to church, is going to be mad as a hornet because I've created problems for him in his own household, and he despises me and the ground I walk on because you're trying to use me to manipulate him and control him. And if a man can't rule his house, he will wreck his house.
Amen.
Unless he hadn't got any red blood in him at all.
Amen.
I'm not talking about being a dictator or being an ogre. I'm talking about being in subjection to God, ruling well your own household, and then doing what God tells you to do. Well, that's how God ordained it. I didn't ordain it that way. But ma'am, I know you if the Bible's right. I know every trick you're going to pull if the Bible's right. You are always going to look to, if you don't like how it's going or the way it's done or the way it's said, you will look to find some authority in order to put your authority down so that you can be in authority. And you'll use it to the demise of that individual. You'll compare him to other people and make fun of him and belittle him and say things like that because you're trying to control him. You're trying to get things out of him. Let's just take a man, a general man, and he's not doing what you think he ought to be doing, and then what you do is say, well, you know, brother so-and-so does so-and-so. Have you seen what Brother Larry... you're in it now. Have you seen what Brother Larry does for Miss Trish? And you see, and you know, what you just said, Big Mouth, is that, boy, if you were Brother Larry, you know what you just did? First of all, you made a comparison, and now your husband can't stand him and don't even know him. But what you don't realize is you just tried to subvert God-ordained authority. But see, you know better, right? That's why you're going to that to use that instead of what God said.
Amen.
Don't you think God has enough sense to know when He wrote that Bible who you're going to be married to? You say He's an ogre. Well, you're an ogreette. Well, He's a jerk. Well, you're a jerkette. You know, well, He's Ahab. Well, you're Jezebel. You know why Ahab was Ahab? Because he was married to Jezebel. You know what Ahab didn't do? He didn't grab the reins like he was supposed to. That old preacher almost had him persuaded, and the woman talked him out of it. Honey, I can't have that vineyard. Good, she should have said. Maybe we shouldn't have the vineyard. God don't want you to have it, so don't have it. Instead, she said, don't you worry, baby. Mommy, get it for you. Went on a letter-writing campaign. Ain't that right, sister? And run another man in the ground and slander him and make fun of him and laugh and mock and belittle and put half-truths out there and spin things into what they aren't and then put it out there until you've got him and his family destroyed. It wasn't just Naboth that was destroyed. It was his family and all the heirs to the vineyard. And then it's kind of like, well, there's no heirs left, so I guess you got to give it to the king. That was done by a woman. Hatched right out of the incubators of hell itself. I'm sure you don't appreciate it. Men, you got plenty coming to you right now, though. You're on the woman. And by the way, you might keep in the back of your mind here, before you're too hard on your physical wife, you're supposed to be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
You've got kind of a snotty attitude about those things. Verse number 23. The husband's the head of the wife. Ma'am, until you change your image of what your husband is supposed to be, you will always try to make him into what you think he should be. The Bible says he's the head of the wife. That's where the brains are. That means control. That means authority. That means rulership. I don't know a nicer way to say it to you. I'm not screaming at you. I'm saying if you're a Bible-believing woman, it's kind of like, I want to do what God wants me to do. Well, as long as it agrees with what I am in 2018... I'm trying to be a biblical woman. Well, don't choke too much on this next verse. Come to Titus. Titus chapter 1.
Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. We don't teach on this stuff much. You say, why? Because it's so unpopular. People get mad. I tell you what, let's make it Titus chapter 2. I'll come back to that in a minute. Verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You know that doctrine is something that is an absolute. Sound doctrine is you don't change it. It doesn't move. It doesn't waver in any dispensation or time period. You understand? Sound is absolute. It's true. It's pure. It's perfect. It's whole. Can't be improved upon. Teach sound doctrine. Now watch. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as become a holiness, not false accusers. Well, there goes your cotton picking social media. Yeah, it's a strange thing. You have a bunch of men now that are acting like false accusers. Well, I would say, according to the Bible, then, your propensity is to be more feminine than it is male. Not false accusers, he says. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Oh my goodness. To love their husbands. To love their children, discreet, cheek keepers at home and on their own, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm telling you, if I'm a woman, I'm ready to throw up. The word of God be not blasphemed? Yeah, if you're not obedient to your husband, the word of God's blasphemed.
Amen.
He said, ma'am, you older ones, you're supposed to be teaching the younger ones instead of talking about your husband. You're supposed to be saying, hey, this is how you love your husband, and this is what you do to show it. You're obedient to him. Why? I ain't blaspheming God. I'm not blaspheming his word. Some of you have never read that passage, and you wish you never saw it. Oh, wow. How about that? Now the Holy Spirit, every time you turn around, you know what he's going to do? He's going to remind you. All right, sister. Now you know what you're doing? You're teaching those young girls. Well, I know what that Bible says, but you do it the way mama shows you, honey. Show you how to have that man wrapped around your finger. You know how many people, I'll say this at the risk of creating some issues, you know how many men we've had come to this church? And the second their wife comes here, they no longer come here? You say, oh, no, surely not. Oh, yes, absolutely. You say, why? They recognize right off the bat, these people are going to go by the Bible instead of how I feel. The issue's authority. That guy up there, he thinks he's the authority in everything. No, he's just a strong preacher who believes the Bible's the authority.
Amen.
And he's not going to cut the corner just to keep you here.
Right.
So I have to give a man an opportunity to do what the Bible says.
Right.
I want to be your... Okay, good, I'm going to church. Where are we going? We're going here. I'm not going with you. Well, why not? Obedient? Ma'am? It's not on the man. Your husband said this is where we're going to church. It's on you if you don't do what he said to do. That's pretty major, wouldn't you think? That the word of God be not blasphemed? Oh, preacher, you're kind of playing that up a little bit, Mud. You're kind of a little heavy-handed on that. Okay, do with it whatever you want to do with it. I don't know what to do to be able to help you. Look, if you will, please, in 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter 3. Well, back up to Timothy. Let me give you this one first. Come to 2 Timothy 3. Is it making sense to you? You say, preacher, why are you telling me this? Because it's where it began in Genesis 3 and it hasn't changed to today. A few weeks ago, a student, or he wasn't a student, he is now, but a fella called a few weeks ago and he said, preacher, he said, I really believe the Lord wants me to go to school. I said, okay, praise the Lord. He said, well, my wife didn't think I should go to school. I said, okay, well, praise the Lord. And he said, but I really feel I'm supposed to go to school. I said, okay, praise the Lord. He said, but it's going to really create problems if I go to school. I said, okay, praise the Lord. He said, what do you think I should do? I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, surely you didn't. I'm not about to tell that guy. You say, what's he looking for? Brother Peacock said, that he thinks that I should put you in your place, and that if God's called me to go to school, then you better shut up and get out of the way. You say, what did you say? If he's listening right now, you know what I told him? I said, praise the Lord. You say, why? He has to live with that, not me. God called you to go, then you should go. Well, my wife doesn't like it, then stay. But I really think I should go, then go. But it's going to be hail Columbia if I do, then stay. Well, tell me what to do. I ain't about to. You say, why? I don't have to live with the repercussions of that. At some point, sir, in your life, you have got to get a backbone like a saw log instead of a cotton string. And at some point, you have to decide which way is the wind blowing. I'll go whatever way. There's a point in time in your life, sir, where you have to say, listen, this is what we're going to do. Now, hush, fish, or cut bait. But this is what we're going to do. Joshua said, as for me and my house. Honey, it's okay if I say this, right? You're good with this, yeah? Yeah. She said it's for me to tell you. She said it's okay for me to say, if for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. I don't care if she likes it or the kids like it. Gentlemen, with all due respect, it is not your wife's responsibility to get your kids to church.
Amen.
That's a man's job.
Amen.
My dad walked by. You know what my dad would say? Get up. It's time to go to church. He better not come back by there and catch me in the bed. You say, why? My dad had a way of showing you what get up and get ready for church meant. And he didn't repeat it and he didn't argue. My mom would come by. Okay, boys, it's time to get up and come to church. Okay, come on now, boys. Get up and come to church. All right, let's go now. Get ready. Get your stuff ready. Now, come on. Let's go. Let's go like that. Dad's like, hey. You know what that meant? You don't have to repeat the sentence. I'm up. I'm rolling. I already know what to do. You don't have to encourage me anymore. You say, oh, but I mean, didn't that make you? No, I knew my dad meant business. You create a feminine society with this indecisiveness. Man, if there's anything I could teach you about a man is he is looking for a solution to the problem and he flies in a straight line. You do like we just did when I went to Washington. Around and around and around and around the cotton picking airport and fly. It's like put the stinking landing gear down and let's land. No, let's fly around a little bit longer. Why? Let's wait till we run out of fuel. But a man's like, put the thing on the ground.
Amen.
And if you already know there's going to be a ground stop because of fog that came out of literally nowhere, then take me to Raleigh and put me down. So I can make decisions of what I'm going to do. I can't make phone calls from up here. I'm jammed up. Let me out. But a woman will be like, well, you know, let's just enjoy. Isn't that pretty? It's fog. Look on that side of the plane. It's the same fog. Well, maybe if we go around one more time, maybe there'll be an opening in the clouds and the Shekinah glory will glide us gently into the thing. No, you have to go from a north-south thing. You have to be able to shoot the vector to make sure that it's clear because you've got to come in by the stinking monument and by the Pentagon and by the White House. I know a little bit about that. And because you have to have a certain height to be able to do that, if you can't see it, you can't land it. Because it's a short runway. That's why when you hit that runway at Reagan, you hit that runway and then you feel like somebody's going to run your head through the windshield because they put the flaps down and reverse the engines and that whole thing is squealing and screaming because you're going to run out of runway. So you don't want to miss the beginning of the runway. You need every inch of it, like landing on a cotton picking aircraft carrier. But you know what, ladies? You don't understand this. That man's wanting to say, tell me what you want to do. Okay, this all right? Fine, good. That's fine with me. You just don't care. Have you changed your mind? Yes. Okay. What do you want? Well, I think I like this. Okay, fine. We'll take that. Well, now, can we? Well, it's a woman's prerogative. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. Where did I tell you to turn? 2 Timothy 3? Yeah, there you are. You say, what happens? Women are easily deceived. Remember the passage I gave you this morning? Especially in childbearing. pain has a strange way of talking to you. Hormones have a strange way. You know what he said? To be saved in childbearing. What do you have to do? Continue to do that which is right. It's interesting in that passage, he puts the man and the woman together if they continue. Why? Because a woman needs to be led while she's going through that difficult time. And gentlemen, she needs you to lead her. I don't care how much she pushes against you. She's insecure. She's like a cow. I don't mean in the way she looks. I done dug a big old pit, man. Keep those cards and letters coming in. When you put up a cross fence with a cow, that cow will go over and begin to lean on that cross fence. And he will push and stick his neck through that cross fence and he'll shove them posts and shove them posts. He'll beat a trail against that thing for a little while until he knows that thing is not going to go anywhere. Then you know where you'll find it. You'll walk out there one morning to check and see if the calves have dropped and stuff. Get your big orange crayon to mark them. You know where you'll find them cows? Out in the middle of the pasture. You say, why? They know the fence ain't going to move. Gentlemen, sometimes, you know what you have to do? Make a decision, even if it's wrong. You say, why? Well, at least she says, well, at least I know he's...
Amen.
You know what eventually she'll do? She'll stop shoving on the fence post. She realizes, baby, I ain't going nowhere. I'm right here. I ain't going nowhere. We had a big argument. I'm not packing my stuff and going out with the guys. I'm going to my man cave. I'm going to go watch sports. I'm going to go play Call of Duty. Pew, 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 pew. I put on my Star Wars helmet, baby. And she's like, oh, baby, I feel so secure and safe it ain't even funny. You can reach level 4 in Star Wars. Boy, ain't you something to lean on. You do what God tells you to do. God ordained it in such a fashion that woman will say, boy, he's safe. He's sure. He's going to be right there. He ain't going nowhere. He's got my back. If you're constantly, why? Okay, well, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Somebody make a decision. And it will generally be the woman.
Amen.
Because you want to make sure she's happy. Because she's in control, and if she's not in control, she makes your life miserable. Well, suck it up, buttercup. Sometimes you make decisions, and I made plenty of them that were wrong decisions. In my marriage and in my employment. More times than I care to remember. But that's part of what comes with it. You're not going to always do it right, but do something. And if you mess up, she goes, well, you know, you messed up. Yeah, that was 40 years ago. Yeah, but you messed up. You're not perfect. No, but I have got a pretty good record since then. This is what we're going to do. I just don't think it's right. Okay, well, I guess we'll find out later, and it'll be another 40 years, and you'll keep reminding me of that one. That's an opportunity, or that's an attempt to try to control. It's biblically unsound. Are you hearing me? You're resisting authority. 2 Timothy. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, verse 5, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Can you bear with me for just another minute or two? I'm past my 30 minutes or whatever I have. From such turn away. Why? For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive what? Ma'am, why wouldn't you say that? You say, well, now, the Bible says a woman is to keep silent in the church and all that kind of stuff. Oh, come on. If that's the case, you wouldn't be gossiping about each other in the bathroom. You know what he said? The temptation is to be led away, to led captive by silly women. You say what? Driven emotionally. That goes all the way back. Would you call Eve silly? Well, sure. She got led away by the devil. Why? She's emotional. She thinks she knows what she wants. For this is got the lead creep into house, the lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Emotional, ever learning, never able to come to the truth, and Janus and Jamborees, and that talks about witchcraft. I don't have time to go into that stuff, but I want you to understand that. Look, if you will, please, in Philippians chapter number 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. We're talking about God-ordained authority. Now, ma'am, I realize that some of the things I'm saying to you right now are difficult for you. But I'm going to show you an example. Verse 5, let this mind, 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. You know what your Savior did? Your Savior decided in order to teach you something, he would do everything up to and including submitting himself to a sinful creation. He did what they told him to do without sin. And you're complaining about your lot in life as a woman. And you want to call yourself a Bible believer and you want to have revival. Whether your husband is what he's supposed to be or not, you know what the Bible says, if any obey not the word, that he may, while beholding your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adornment let it be not the outward appearance of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of adorning of gold and so on and so forth, but being adorned with a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the eyes of God of great price. That means, ma'am, when you learn to be quiet and teachable, that's what meekness is. Meek isn't mousy. Meek is you're teachable. Why does he put that? Because once you make your mind up, nobody can teach you nothing. Good preaching.
Yeah.
Once you make your mind up, nobody. I sure hope so-and-so's here listening to this. How about you, big mouth? Some of you have a quiet spirit, but you don't have a meek one. You're quiet, but nobody can show you anything. You're going to have it your way no matter what. The hair lips, the devil, and everybody else, tear everybody out of the frame. I don't make no difference. There is an unmeek spirit is equivalent to being rebellious. Nobody can teach you. I haven't said one word about your ability to learn or your ability to instruct or your ability to teach or your ability to make money or your ability to have certain things that a man doesn't have. But, buddy, the push comes to shove where that cross shows up is that when God says, when you're at the house, this is what I intend for it to be. Well, the way I see it, I told you this morning men are going to get this deer in the thing. I hope you come. You probably won't. You won't come to hear it. You'll be like, well, I don't need all that kind of stuff. I know. But I'm going to give you a whole message on a lazy man. You women should come and raise the rafters. Because everything that the Bible says about a lazy, slothful, sorry, rotten, good-for-nothing man, you're going to see that's true even among Bible believers. And that stuff is going to be in there. You know why? Because they're not doing what they're supposed to. But the Bible doesn't make an excuse that if he's not doing what he's supposed to, that you're not supposed to do what you're supposed to. That Bible says if he's not obeying the word, that he is to be able to watch how you live and watch what you do, not what you say. Why? That's a natural tendency. You know what you always want to know? How come men get so mad and punch the wall? Why are you worried what the man's doing? How come you want to talk it to death? The lady said sometime, preacher, I just think it would be wonderful to have a revival. And I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, but you know how these people are. I said, no, ma'am. How are they? You give them a chance, you know, you give them an inch, she thinks she's a ruler, you know, so off she goes. Well, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and such-and-such and so-and-so. And I shouldn't have thought it, but I did. I thought, man, all 40 feet of that tongue will probably fit in a wheelbarrow. If you take that thing up there and put it on the altar, we might really could. I mean, that lady's tongue was so long she could stand in the living room and lick the skillet in the kitchen. But the problem was everybody else. Ma'am. That's your nature. Your nature is to... That's why I'm in an airport. I'm walking through and I'm watching women like this. I'm not watching women like... Yeah, they'll cut that one out. This is the thing. Here's what they're looking at. And then they see the shoes and then they see if the perch matches. And see if the jewelry matches the outfit and matches the color. And they look. And if it's two women walking together, they'll be... They're making fun of how... They don't even know the woman. Her briefcase doesn't match her purse, doesn't match her shoes. It's not men. Men don't care if you got on a burlap sack. You know I'm telling the truth. That man has enough problems with what's in his mind. It don't make no difference what you got on. Women's worried about, does she match? Does it match her eye color? Does her eyeshadow match? Does this match? Does that match? Her phone case has to match whatever her attire is for the day. And you know what you ladies do? Your natural tendency is you look at other women and you make judgments based on what you see. Well, I sure wouldn't want to be married to that man. Well, unless you can use that man to try to manipulate your husband to be what you want him to be by using the worst person in the congregation so that you can say, well, by what I'm saying is you're lower than he is. Ma'am, if I could tell you one thing, I would tell you this, if you wouldn't listen to nothing else I say. It would do you a great service and your family and your kids for you not to talk about your husband in public. To each other. There ain't a man in here that's perfect. But the moment he finds out that whatever he's doing in the confines of his house is everybody's business. Well, my husband did so-and-so. My husband doesn't ever do that. My husband don't ever do that. I wish my husband would get a better job. I wish my husband made more money. I wish my husband would do this and do that. You know what will happen? You are destroying your household. You say, why? Because you're trying to control him. You're trying to motivate him to be something that he doesn't want to be. Maybe he doesn't want to be all that because of who you are. Yeah, well. Yeah, well. Christian got it right. He ain't married. By the time I'm done with this, you'll be kind of like, I don't know that I want to be married. Well, Paul said, I would that you were as I am. You say, why? Paul has some sense. I like it. I'm good. I'm golden. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm trying to help you now. Let's see here. Where am I at here? 1 Timothy. Am I in 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy 2. I got to give you this real quick. Verse 11. 2:11. I said this to you this morning, but I'm going to bring everybody up to speed. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and then we'll go over to 1 Peter, and I think I'll be just about done. All right, the Bible says, let women learn where? I'm sorry, I think I heard one. Are you in a King James Bible? So that doesn't say that in my Bible. No, you probably scratched the word out. Because a woman thinks she can learn with her mouth open. Ma'am, I'm not putting you down. It's the Bible. You can't learn while you're talking. You cannot learn while you're speaking. So he gave us each two ears. Yeah, well, he gave you two ears too. It's addressing you. You want to be the center of attention? You got the stage. The lights are on. Let the women, the Bible says, learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And then he talks about Adam and Adam not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity. She needs you to help her maintain her Christian walk with Jesus Christ. It should be individual, but it ain't always that way. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's hurry. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Preacher, you've been all over this. Yeah, but I want you to see it. It's important for you to see. Now, ma'am, that Bible teaches you clearly that this is the stuff you're supposed to do. That Bible teaches you clearly that you older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to love their homes and how to be love their husbands and how to be obedient to them. That's what the Bible says. Well, I'll do it, but I don't like it. Okay, well, that's as good as not doing it. Now, that's what the Bible teaches you, that there's where the problem is. You want to be in the will of God or not. You can't start making situational ethics if you want to come down on the right side of God. Remember over there in the book of Esther, there's a woman by the name of Vashti. And the king calls her up there and he wants to make a show pony out of her and says, you know, y'all should take a look at this. And I understand where everybody goes. I get the picture, but you don't get the rest of the story. Well, he's trying her to get something to lewd. And I heard all the excuses. You know what happens in that passage? The other men come in there and say, now, when they find out the queen of this king didn't do what she's supposed to, that will spread throughout all the kingdoms. And we're going to do something that shouldn't be done. and you come down and read that passage, you know what it says? He puts out an order and an edict. You say, why? Because it's not right for a woman to usurp authority over a man. And in that case, the woman was right. She shouldn't have been out there and been a show pony and been out there in front of everybody. But you know what he says? What's in the rest of the passage? The rest of the passage is that it corrupts other women. Collateral damage. When you have a snotty attitude. I've watched, I don't know how many men commit spiritual suicide willingly. You say, why? Follow what their wife wants to do. Go to some charismatic feel-good place and drink coffee. And eat cinnamon rolls. Speak in tongues and jump around. Watch a woman run around in leotards and do these ribbons and stuff. And have these spiritual smoke pole dances or whatever it might be. The only thing that's missing from that in the strip club is a pole. Really? And they call it worship. Well, you're close. You study history, you know what you'll find out. That stuff's right there in the church. I know what I'm talking about. I know y'all think I'm just being an old, hard, redneck preacher.
He's just preaching that old stuff, you know. I don't know why he don't get up to date and modern.
Because our families are falling apart. That's why. Because in this sense of the word, I'm a doctor and I know what the problem is. I know the diagnosis. And I know that if you don't change according to the Bible, then the whole thing's going to come apart. You say, how do you know that, preacher? It happened in Genesis chapter 3. It led to the murder of a boy. It led to Jacob, mama's boy, coming against Esau. It's all through there. All right, 1 Peter 3, let's hurry. Likewise, you wives, being subject. There it is again. To your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. Well, preacher, there it is. Supposed to just talk. Just talk. Let's talk. Well, let's make sure that that's what it is that we're talking about when the word conversation is used there in the text of the King James Bible. And I can do it without going to one bit of Greek or Hebrew. I don't have to go to some language that's gone to try to show you that. Watch. The conversation of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. How do you behold words? What is that? That's the Bible defining itself. How do they behold words? They're beholding actions. In the Bible, conversation is how you live. It's the combination of everything. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be. Watch the outward adorning plate of the hair, the wearing of gold, the putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of what? The manner of old time, holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. What does he say? I know where you are, ma'am. You're already in the next verse. I know right where you are. That Bible says you're supposed to dwell with me according to knowledge. You forget your first six verses are to you, ma'am. Don't put it on me that I don't know you. You do your part. The Bible says that I'm to dwell with you according to knowledge. Okay? The knowledge is in reference to the first six verses. Is your conversation a chaste conversation that shows your relationship with God is what it's supposed to be? If I as a man am supposed to be looking at you, I'm supposed to go, hey, I've learned some things about that girl and she's going to do what God says to do whether I like it or not. I better get in line before God knocks the tar out of me. It's not a man has to learn how a woman is so that he can learn how to deal with her wickedness and her insubordination. As is taught. That's Bible hermeneutics 101. That's using the Bible to create definitions. You don't even have to have a commentary. All you got to do is go by what the text says. Not opposed to commentaries. I'm not opposed to dictionaries. I'm not opposed to you using anything to try to show contrast. I'm saying that our natural tendency is to take something the Bible doesn't say and turn it into something that you want it to say.
So the emphasis always gets to be, husband, you got to dwell with woman according to knowledge. You know why it says knowledge? Because you never understand them. Okay, but that's the only place it tells me I'm to dwell with you according to knowledge. And the knowledge is that I've been watching you live for God and keep your mouth shut. And so I realize, buddy, I'm fixing to have something come down on me worse than anything you can imagine if I don't do what you're doing, because you're in submission to God and I'm not. I'm learning by watching you what submission is about. I'm the one that's out of submission because I'm watching you in submission in spite of not being the right kind of ruler. That's the knowledge. It's not, let me learn about what happened in your past and psychologically how you came warped to come to these thoughts and feelings and ideas so that I can better understand you. The context is, I learn where your bread's buttered. I learn where your authority is. I learn what means the most to you in your life, and that's your relationship with Him. And if I'm going to have the right relationship with you, you know what that knowledge should tell me? I better get in line with Him too. Amen. Now, you want to be a motivator or a manipulator? How about doing it God's way? That's what you're doing. If any obey not the Word, they may without the Word. They're not even reading the Bible. They ain't praying. They ain't going to church. They don't want nothing to do. Without the Word may be won by what? Beholding your chaste conversation. Pure, clean, clear. Nothing up your sleeve. No alternative motives. No ulterior motives. No agendas. And they're watching you. Wow. How does she do that? The illustration was given years and years ago. It doesn't make much sense anymore nowadays, but in the old days, they closed the bar down about midnight. And the guy said, boy, sure would be great to be able to get a cup of coffee. And the guy said, well, I know where we can get one. He said, nothing's closed. Nothing's open anymore. Everything's shut down at 10 o'clock at night. There's nothing to give it open. The only thing open is speakeasies and bars, and they're shut down at midnight. I don't know where we can go. He said, we can go to my house. What do you mean you can go to your house? Your wife would be asleep by now. I said, yeah, we'd be there by 1 o'clock. I said, we'll wake her up. It don't make no difference. They walk in that door right there, and he goes into the bedroom, flips on the light, said, get up, make us some coffee. She said, okay, honey, give me a minute. Puts on her bathrobe, grabs the slippers, runs a brush through her hair, goes out into the kitchen. There's a coffee going and that kind of stuff. And the guy looks at the other guy across the table. He said, watch this, you know. And she comes in there, and he takes a sip of it. He dumps it out on the table. He said, pick that junk up. That's cold, man. I don't want that. You know better than to bring me that. Okay, honey, no problem. I'll be right back. Goes out into the kitchen, comes back with a fresh cup of coffee, brings it down there, sits it down there. He says, there be anything else for you, honey? You want some tea cakes? You want some stuff? I know some of you are thinking, I'll pour that coffee down his pocket and pick his shirt. But you hadn't heard the illustration. And that old drunk sitting across from the other drunk, a couple of card players there, he said, why would you treat a woman like that? I mean, how come? And she said, ma'am, let me ask you a question. How come it is that you put up with him talking to you that way and treating you that way and acting that way in front of you and being just as miserable old cuss as you can imagine? And that woman gathered herself and she said, well, this is as close to heaven as he'll ever get, and I want to try to make his life as sweet as it can possibly be here, because one day he's going to be in hell and he's going to stay there forever and forever and forever.
Amen.
And he turned and he looked at that guy and he said, why would you do that? He said, if I was you, I think I'd get saved. And the guy said, you know what? I think maybe I should.
Amen.
See, it's a little more. It has to do with an eternal thing.
Right.
You know what your natural response would be? Who is he to tell me, come in here at midnight, I'll pack his stuff and put it out on the stairs. Okay. But see, she's concerned about his soul. And for those of you that are saved women and your husbands are saved, you should be concerned about his rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But that don't really matter when you want your way, does it, Eve?
Amen, preacher.
That goes all the way down the tube, don't it? Thank you, sister. You know that goes all the way down the tube, don't it? You don't even care. You don't even think about eternity. You say, why? It's about you, isn't it, Eve? You lose sight. You don't realize the power you have over a man that God gave you.
Amen.
And you've gotten the power now, and you know what you can do? You can actually turn that man against God.
Yes. Amen.
And just because he's eternally secure does not mean that that man might make a stupid decision just like Adam did. Wouldn't you agree Adam's decision pretty stupid? I bet you there's not a man under the sound of my voice that wouldn't have made the same decision. That boy was smitten with that woman. And you know what he said? I'd rather give up my relationship with the Lord and give up the garden and run the risk of what the Bible says. I'm going to, day that I eat, thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. But I love that woman and I'd hate for her to die alone. So I'll just go ahead and die with her because, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's a principle in the Bible that is rarely preached on because it has become so unpopular. But it is the doctrine of authority. And authority can't be to the government until it's in the home. And it can't be for the kids until it's between the husband and the wife. And somebody has to submit. And men, it's for you, it's to God. And ma'am, for you, it's to Him. Well, I just don't, okay. Nothing I can do. Can't force it on you. But that's what the Bible says.